Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. And you tune me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock. And we now stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others of you tune me in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that tune me in by the way of WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. I welcome you as well, and we are now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Others are listening by the way of my website. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. Go to the page that says Media Stories. Scroll on down, and you can see those messages that are just waiting to be listened to. And you can click on it right there and listen to it then on your computer, or you can download it whichever way you so desire. Whatever, whoever and however you joined us, I'm just glad to have you with us on this second Sunday of December 2019. Have you got ready to do that? Have you been able to write that this year? 2019 is something that we have to get back into our minds and our hearts. But just think of that. We're already down to week number two. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial costs of our broadcast. So I want to begin this morning with Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. And they're from Orleans, Michigan, and I appreciate her support. To Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, from Greenville. And also to Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, from Dayton, Tennessee. And to Doug and Noreen Lane, family from the Sheridan area, thank you so much for your support. And to the Bill and Judy Hammond family from the Belding area, thank you so much for your support as well. I want to give a big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out the music for this morning. And I always like to give an invitation to Shiloh Community Church. Our weekend of worship this week is our memorial weekend at Shiloh. And the services was Saturday night, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, and 10:45. So you still have time to make it to the 10:45 if you're listening to me and the Ionia station. And we're going to pay tribute to all of those that passed away in 2018. And then on the Greenville campus, the service is at 11 o'clock at the old Lutheran church up by McDonald's north of Greenville, okay? Well, I think that takes care of all of that. I appreciate so much the opportunity to continue to share this message. I want to talk about some things surrounding the death of the Lord Jesus for the first part of my message. And then I want to end with that tremendous care and love and concern that he has for each one of us when we're called upon to give up our loved ones. And I'll tie that all together for us this morning so we can realize that Jesus went through a lot. He surely knows the pain of the suffering of death. He knows the pain that leads up to that period of time. And then he shared with us from his heart some things that are very precious. And I just want to think of them as power moments from the life of the Lord Jesus as he reminds us all that he was willing to go through in order to give to us this thing that we call salvation and the concern that he has for each and every one of us. When we study about the Lord Jesus this morning, we're going to begin about the Passover feast. And the Passover, just for a quick reminder to those of you that might need it, the Passover was something that was done in the nation of Israel when they were being led out of the land of Egypt. God kept trying to give plagues that would, where Pharaoh would let his people go, and he wouldn't do it. And so one of the plagues that he brought on was there was going to be the death of the firstborn of every animal and every family member if they did not release the people of Israel from the land of Egypt. Well, the king didn't pay no attention to that, so God told the nation of Israel, I want you to slaughter a lamb. And when you slaughter that lamb, I want you to take some of the blood and put it on the top of the door, some on the side of the door frame, and some on the other side of the door frame. And in your mind, you can see that's a picture of a cross. And God told the people of Israel, when the death angel comes through tonight, if you have blood on your door, like I've just told you, he said, then the death angel will pass over you, and nobody in your family will die. And that was where this came from. And so we're going to listen to a song that gets us started that just tells us about that story and tells us about the need of that blood being upon their door. And so as we listen in, we want to let God kind of prepare our hearts and our minds for the message, and because that's where we're going to begin with the Lord Jesus. Now, it's all kind of scary here, folks, but I'll be right back.
The blood, only through the blood, can sins be washed away, restoring us to God. The blood, through the blood alone, can we approach the throne, not by works we've done. It's only, only through the blood.
The angel of death was passing through the Jewish town. Above the door of every family was the blood of a lamb. No need to search for a bag of silver to hang upon the door, for the only thing that could atone forever was the blood and nothing more.
The blood, only through the blood, can sins be washed away, restoring us to God. The blood, through the blood alone, can we approach the throne, not by works we've done. It's only, only through the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
Now many think that God will overlook the failures when he sees the deeds they do. Being kind to friends and being good to neighbors, they hope will get them through. But the kindest man is still a wayward sinner who needs to be restored. And the only thing that will atone forever is the blood and nothing more.
The blood, only through the blood, can sins be washed away, restoring us to God. The blood, through the blood alone, can we approach the throne, not by works we've done. It's only, only through the blood.
God wants to remind us, folks, of way back there in that story of the nation of Israel. It was only the blood that could protect, that was be able to protect them. They had to be obedient to that. And that's a reminder that as we come to the portions of Scripture we're going to look at this morning that reminds us of the necessity of the Lord Jesus giving his life that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. It tells us without the shedding of the blood in the Scripture, there's no remission for sin. And Jesus was going to pay that price. And he was willing, as we will find as we study this morning, to pay that price for each and every one of us. But as we get started on this second Lord's Day of 2019, I want to remember the listening audience as you've tuned me in this morning. You're the center of my attention. You're the center of my heart. That's who I want to reach out for and to this morning is those of you that's listening in at this moment. And I just want to have a prayer for your life and just ask God to bless you in a very special way. So let's just bow for a moment. Dear Father, once again, I want to remember the listening audience, every person that's turned their radio on to the program this morning. Father, I want to enter into their home, into their family with the word, but I want to enter into their home and family and into their individual lives with the fact, Father, that you really care for them, and I care for them as well. That's why I take the time to put these broadcasts together week after week, is because I'm concerned for what they're going through in their life. And Father, I know it's only the second weekend of the new year, but also already there is some that have suffered sorrow and hurt. There's some that's going through pain. There's some that's found out they just have cancer or a mass or something that showed up that needs attention. Others have been told they got a surgery that is necessary. Some have gone through some financial trouble already this year. And Father, I don't know what each person, each family is going through. But this morning, Father, I care about them, and I want you, dear Father, to do something about the way they find themselves in this morning. Would you minister to them in a special way? If you want to take your word, Father, and make it a blessing in your life and an encouragement to them, I pray that you would do that. And I just pray that something that is said this morning, something of the music that is played, would be an encouragement to them. I thank you for the stations that carry the broadcast, and I ask your special blessing to be upon the listening audience in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the message is some special moments in the life of Jesus. I want to share some moments in the life of Jesus as it came close to that time when he knew it was getting close to the time that he was going to have to die. And it was getting very close. And one portion of Scripture in John 13, it tells us that Jesus' heart had been prepared for this. Now listen to what it says, because this is an insight into his life. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had came from God, and that he was going back to God, he came to do what Father had spoken of him, of when he told him to do it, and he's come to complete it all. Now he knows the end is at hand. And the nation of Israel is going to be a reminder to him of what they went through in that difficulty time when there was so much death because the Pharaoh of Egypt would not release the children of Israel. And it was called the Passover Lamb. There was hundreds of lambs put to death that night in order to give deliverance for the children of Israel from the death angel that was going to pass over all of Egypt. The celebration of the Passover was coming that year in the life of the Lord Jesus. So I love the story in the book of Luke that tells us about he knowing that his time is getting close, he knowing that he's going back to the Father from where he had came, there came the day of the unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare this Passover?" they was just wondering, how can we do that? We don't have the means to be able to do that. Listen to what Jesus said. This is how the preparation was ready, not only in the heart of Jesus, but the preparation was ready in the period of time that it was. He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered into the city, there will be a man carrying a jar of water. We'll meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters in and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And when they went and found it just as Jesus had told them, they prepared the Passover. What a beautiful way that this is introduced to us this morning, that God has got his Son ready to do it, and things are going to be ready as some strange ways of opening. You'll find a man carrying a bottle of water and follow him, and he's going to have you. There's going to be a room in the place of the house that he enters into. So God has made the way, and God knows how to do that. I think it needs to be something in my heart and life today, in your heart and life today, that reminds you that when the nation of Israel went, when the disciples went, Peter and John, went into that city, they found it, it says, just as Jesus told them. Sometimes it takes us a long time to know and to remember that God always keeps his promise. They found it just the way Jesus said. I believe this is a moment about to take place in the life of the Lord Jesus that has been in his heart ever since the time of the Passover, as far as God is concerned. When he delivered the nation of Israel from the land of Egypt, I think God the Father knew that one day his Son was going to deliver all people who would believe in him from their captivity of sin. I love the instruction to the upper room where he was going to be fulfilled was located. When the disciples were told that they were into the city, and they would find this man carrying this jug of water, follow him, and he's going to lead you to the place where it is. It was a divine appointment, folks. I got to tell you, there's a lot of divine appointments that God don't get credit for. A lot of times in my life, in your life, when God has directed us just the way it should have been, to be at the right place at the right time to do the right thing. It was a divine appointment with the fact of going to provide a room for the Passover feast to be taken care of. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, that you and I should be holy and blameless. That's what God reminds us in Ephesians. And God is telling us that he's got a plan. And that plan involves your life. And that plan involves my life. And he wants us to know that that plan's going to be carried out. And that's just something good for us to get a hold of as we go through this year. Because there's going to be things where we need some sense of direction, like the disciples needed some sense of direction. And I know that Jesus is able to do that with us. This is going to be a turning point in Jesus' life. That it came to the time of the Passover feast. It's going to be a celebration of something from the past, but it's going to speak to us about something of the future. And remember, Jesus, knowing that it was time, that he had come from the Father, and that he was going to go back to the Father. I want us to see the power of that moment in Jesus' life, as Jesus was facing the fact that time had come for him to do what he came into this world to do, and that was to offer himself as a sacrifice. He was going to be the lamb that was going to be slain. He was going to be the one that was going to give forgiveness of sins to all mankind. I want us to have feelings for Jesus when he was at this moment, as it is revealed to us in the book of John, chapter 12. Now Jesus said, "My soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Shall I say, 'Father, save me from this hour?' But for this hour was the purpose I came into this world for this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then all of a sudden there was a voice that came from heaven and said, Son, I have glorified it, and I'm going to glorify it again. I glorified it at your birth, and I'm going to glorify it at your death, is what I believe the Father was saying. I love the fact that the Father is that voice from heaven which had spoken before and meant so much to Jesus, again speaks and says, I have glorified it, and I'll glorify it again. This to me is the Father saying to the Son, I've been waiting for this to come to this point in time for you to be able to do what I sent you to do. Now let's go back up to that upper room for just a few moments. And let's hear Jesus say something that ought to really touch our hearts strongly. Jesus is going to say something as he's reclined in the table. He's sitting there with his disciples. And in Luke chapter 22, listen to what Jesus said. He said to his disciples, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Did you hear that? Jesus said, disciples, I want to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He knew the suffering time was coming, and he knew it was right now, and he wasn't going to avoid it. He wasn't going to step aside of it. Matter of fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane is where he made the final yielding when he says, Father, if there's any way you can have this cup pass from me, have it. But if not, not my will be done, Father, but thy will be done. And he was at that point, and he said, disciples, I've desired to get ready. I've decided to face this. My purpose in the thought today is the idea to understand there was a lot that happened behind the scenes before it came time that Jesus would die on that cross. And the things that happened provide a way for us to see how much went into this truth that in Jesus' death we could have the forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life. Because I think too often in the Christian circle, we think that it was very easy for Jesus to do this, for him to become obedient unto death. But he's sharing with us that his heart is troubled, his soul is troubled, and yet at the same time, he's sharing with us that he desires to do this. He wants to face it head on. And I appreciate so much the fact that Jesus humbled himself to become obedient to death. That's what that process is. He's surrendering to the Father's will. There's a beautiful verse that I like that's recorded. It says, being found in appearances in the book of Hebrews, being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of the death. Now listen to this next statement. Even the death on a cross. Not that he was just going to die. But Jesus said to the disciples, I've desired to eat this with you before I suffer. He knew, he had heard, he had seen without a doubt that crucifixion death that was done by the Roman government was a painful way to die. It was a long and excruciating pain of death. The nation of Israel, when they wanted to kill somebody, they stoned them. They thrown stones at him and they killed him. But these here Romans people, they were going to nail him to a cross. And as they nailed him to a cross, then he would die. And upon that death was a painful death. And yet Jesus became obedient to that. Do you understand that all of this is in the background of what Jesus is going through? To be able to do what he's promised and what he came to do, what the Father wants him to do, to give his life as a Lamb of God. to take away the sins of the world. God did that for us. I got to make it even more personal. God did that for me. Jesus was willing to suffer all that is talked about, that he was suffering. And he was willing to do that, that I might have the forgiveness of sin. We heard Jesus say, I've earnestly desired to do this Passover with you. When I think of Jesus saying he was earnestly desiring to do that before he suffered, I just all of a sudden in my mind and in my heart, I went back to the book of Isaiah chapter 3, which was chapter 53 was 700 years before Jesus was born. There's two things in Isaiah. There's a prediction of Jesus' birth, and there's a prediction of his death. And it tells us in a vivid way the description of what Jesus was going to suffer and what kind of suffering was ahead of him, that he's saying to his disciples, I want to eat this with you before I do that. I want to be reminded of the Passover. And I want to be reminded that now God's going to pass over the sins of the entire universe through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I thought I wanted to have this portion of Scripture come to us from the Children's Bible. I wanted to be, not to soften it, but to be said in about the softest way it can be said. So I'm going to spend some moments now reading from Isaiah 53. But he took our suffering on him, and Jesus felt our pain for us. We saw his suffering, but we thought God was punishing him. That's the nation of Israel. But he was wounded for our wrong things we have done. He was crushed for the evil things we did. The punishment was made us well was given to him. And we are healed because of his wounds. We've all wandered like sheep. Every one of us has gone his own way. But the Lord has put upon him the punishment for all of our evil we have done. He was beaten down and punished, but we didn't say a word. He was like a lamb before being led to be killed. He was quiet like the sheep is quiet while its wool is being cut off. He never opened his mouth. Men took him away roughly and unfairly. He died without children to continue his family. He was put to death. He was punished for the sins of the people. He was buried with the wicked. He died with the rich. He had done nothing wrong. He had never lied. But it was the Lord who decided to suffer. So the Lord made his life a penalty offering. But he will see his descendants and he will have a long life. He will complete the things that the Lord wants him to do. He will suffer many things in the soul inside of him. But when he will see life and be satisfied, my good servant will make many people right with God. He carried away their sins. For this reason I'll make him a great man among the people. He will share in all things who are strong. He willingly gave his life. He was treated like a criminal, but he carried away the sins of many people, and he even asked forgiveness for those that had nailed him to a cross. Can you imagine with me for a moment? Can you imagine with me the greatness of the love that the Lord Jesus has for us? That he would say to the disciples, I've desired to eat this with you before I suffer. You know, for Christ's love, the book of Corinthians tells us, compels us to come to this point to understand that Jesus died for all men because all men had committed sin. And because of that, what he did for us, Jesus is expecting of us that you and I would live our lives in a little different way because of that tremendous love that he had for us. I got to tell you, folks, this thought and these thoughts have really spoken to my heart this week. How willingly Jesus was willing to die. Made even stronger the verse that I've used in so many funerals, that my red letter words of Jesus is, greater love has no man than this, that one would be willing to die for another. And Jesus was willing to give his life that we might have the forgiveness of sin. You know, to turn the message to the point now that I want to turn it, is the idea that everybody doesn't appreciate that. There was one of the men that Jesus chose to be his disciple. His name was Judas. He'd been with Jesus in all the things. He was even the treasurer. And yet it didn't seem to speak to his heart. And he decided to sell Jesus. And you know, the money that he requested from the religious leaders was the price of a slave. Just think of what I've just shared you that Jesus was willing to go through. And Judas, who was with him even at that hour, he sold Jesus for the price of a slave. This song is listening to Judas's heart. And Judas was reminding himself that Jesus, that evening in that upper room, washed his feet. He came to Judas and he washed his feet, and he never exposed him to be who he was. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
The moment our eyes met, I knew this was the night that I would betray him, the precious Lamb of God. No other disciple was aware of my plan till he rose from the table with something in his hand. His holy eyes pierced through me, revealing all my sin. I knew his wrath was coming, and this would be the end. But he bowed and he washed my feet. Have scolded, he whispered peace as he bowed and he washed my feet. Judas would fail him, but he's no worse than I. The moment I gave him to Satan's compromise, I'm grateful that Jesus had saved me from hell. I was walking so proudly, and that's when I fell. His
His holy eyes pierced through me, revealing all my sin. I knew His wrath was coming, and this would be the end. But He bowed and He washed my feet, knowing that I was the cause of His grief. When He should have scolded, He whispered
Can you imagine that? Jesus getting up from that table, getting a pan of water, putting a towel around His waist, and He washed the disciples' feet. But He even washed Judas's feet. And He knew what Judas was going to do. Because in a quiet voice He said to him, "You do what you must do, and what you do, do it quickly." That's the love of this one Jesus. Bow down before the very one that was going to sell Him for the price of a slave. The very one that was going to betray Him. And the reason He's willing to do this is there's a verse that's always meant so much to me when I think about the place that Jesus has between the sinful man and holy God. It's in the book of Timothy when it says, "There is one God, and there is one man between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus." The Lord Jesus has taken the hand of the Holy Father and the hand of the worst sinner, and He brings us together through His death. He's that mediator, that go-between. And He wanted us to know that. But that isn't something from the past. That's something He wants us to know for today. He wants us to understand it's for our life right now. Let me share this verse that I really love in the book of Hebrews. It's sharing with us that as the go-between, you know, in the Old Testament time, there was a priest that was the go-between. And then when it's talking about the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 4:14 through 16, it says, "Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God." He's telling us that's our great high priest. "Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest that is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." I think there was some priest in the Old Testament day that didn't sympathize with the people. But it says this high priest that we have, he's able to sympathize with our weakness. But one who in every way, in every respect, has been tempted as you and I are. And yet He didn't sin. Let us therefore have some confidence. Let us draw near to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and help in our time of need. You know what, folks? That's what God's reminding us. Jesus was going through all He went through, and He gave us a little insight into what it was for Him to surrender, to do what He was going to do. But He was doing it because He knew that one day He could sympathize with you. and one day that he could sympathize with me. He, one day when you and I needed some help, he would be able to help us when we were facing something that was hard for us to do. He could say to us, I faced something it was hard for me to do. I'm going to tell you I'm being there with you and I'm going to help you through that difficult time. You see, that's why one of the things that I always appreciate about the second Sunday at Shiloh is that we remember all of those who passed away the year before. And we've called it our memorial service. And sometimes people say, well, why would you want to do that? I tell the people whenever I do a funeral service, I tell them that please remember your loved one. Please hang on to the memory and share the memory often with one another. But there's a reason for that. The Lord Jesus himself said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I want you to know this, that Jesus knows how to comfort us. Jesus knows the pain of death. Jesus knows what he went through. And he's going to be a comfort to each one of us. And he can sympathize with us. And sometimes when I lose a loved one, that's what I need, some sympathy. Sometimes when I lose a loved one that's bigger than I and I can't face that on my own, I need some help from God. And later on in the book of Corinthians, it says, all praise to God the Father of our Master, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Father of all mercy, the God of all healing and comfort and counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who's going through a hard time that can help us get through that hard time. And God gives us all that we need. We have plenty of hard times in our life following the Messiah, but no more so than good times of healing and comfort. We get full measure of healing and comfort. I want us to think about, as I close the service today and spend the rest of my time that I have, I want us to think about those loved ones of yours, listening audience, that passed away 2018. You know, death is a terrible thing. I like it in the book of James. He says, what is your life? Your life is like a vapor. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. That vapor appears and is there for a few moments, and all of a sudden it vanishes. And that's painful for us when our loved ones vanish. That's painful for us to go through that experience. We miss them so much. And you know what happens to us as a result of that? We go through what is called a grievous process, a time of grief. A grieving period of life. I remember when I was a kid, I always carried buckets of water from the spring across the road from one house that we lived in. And you know, when I think about the death that I have had the grief of, I think it's like carrying that water. Every one of us are carrying, if you lost somebody in 2018, or even if it was a long time ago, every now and then, we're carrying a bucket of that grief. We miss that person. We miss the times that we had with them. And I need to tell you something that I've learned in my years of life. I've run through a lot of hard jobs, and I've done a lot of work in my days. But I got to tell you, dear people, the grieving process is the hardest work that I've ever done. That's why I wanted to do memorial services at the church, is to be able to help them through that process. So let them know that Jesus sympathizes with what they're going through. But also, I like what it says in that book of Corinthians when it said, somebody else will come alongside. And I want to be one of those people to come alongside, and I want to sympathize with them for what they're experiencing in their life, what they're going through. And the best way you can do that is whatever you have gone through in your life. And when you found a source of comfort, as you could share that with somebody else for the process of the grieving things that they're going through in their life, God says, I'll bless them through you. But more than that, I'll bless you for you doing it. The grieving process is not a destination that we arrive at when our loved ones are gone. For our daughter, Carlene, it's been 18 years. And I got to tell you, dear people, I still have pain in the loss of that daughter, even though it was 18 years ago. There's still pain. There's still grief. There's still times that it hurts. Some try to get rid of the grief too fast. But the grieving process is a slow process. And it's not that all of a sudden you're going to arrive at some point where you say, I don't grieve no more. Grieving is something that is a part of life. And we need to realize that even way back in the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. That's an interesting title that he had. God shares through the prophet Jeremiah, though, that weeping is a part of life. And Jeremiah is thinking back of all the people that he knows that have died. And this is what he said. Listen to this carefully, folks. I wish that my head were filled with water and my eyes were a fountain of tears so that I could cry day and night for my dear people who have been killed or died. He wanted to remember them. He wanted to keep it in his heart. I'm so glad that a number of years ago, I learned this little statement about a tear, and it's been something that's been a part of my life ever since then. We can put something into the bucket of grief to help us, and the Bible is telling us about tears. You know what one Bible verse says in the Old Testament about tears? It says, God catches all of your tears and he puts them in a bottle. God notices when you cry. God notices when you're in a grieving process and you're hurting because that loved one has been taken from you. And on God's heart wept. Jesus' eyes wept when he's at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus wept, I'm sure, as he thought about the pain he was going to go through and suffer through. I came across this, and I believe the tear is how we release the feelings that's inside of us. I came across this picture of an eye, and it says the tear is made up of 1% water and 99% feelings. That's why we need to let the tears out. Can I tell you that my dad's been gone many, many years, and every now and then I miss him. My mom has been gone 14 years, and every now and then I miss her. The daughter that we never got to raise this year will turn 59 years old, that she's been gone. But I've shed some tears, and through the shedding of the tears get some relief. And by the way, one of the things that I want to close with is the idea that, you know what? We have something that helps us, and that's the gift of memory. Because when a loved one dies, we can go down memory lane, and we can make memories. I just say take a short walk down memory lane. Remember the things they said. Remember the things they did. And remember the things you felt when you were with them. Call back the memories of your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband. Take a few moments today to call back to your mind those memories that you have of them. But I always like to give a little warning when I preach the sermons at the funeral services. You know, the memory is either our friend or our enemy. Sometimes we remember stuff we should forget. And sometimes we remember stuff we forget stuff we should remember. And you know what I always say? If you got any sad memories of any loved one that's ever passed on before you, please forgive them. Forgiveness not because they ask. Forgiveness not because they may have never asked. But forgiveness for your benefit. I've come to know this truth, that forgiveness is the best gift you give yourself. It's the best gift you give yourself. You know why I say that? Because I had to do that with my stepdad. I didn't have many memories, good memories of childhood days. I had memories of working with him and not being treated very well. But you know what? When I had forgiven him, you know what's happened? I've got some good memories of my stepdad now. You see, when you forgive the bad memories or the sad memories, the good memories can surface. So I'd encourage you this morning, as we listen to a song that we're going to listen to that's talking about, when we get to heaven, if you're looking for me, look for me at the feet of Jesus. I want to just give him the tribute for all that he has done for me and give him the thanks and the praise for all that he has done for me. So when you get to heaven, look for me, this song is saying, at the feet of Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share a little different message, but at the same time, one that is very needed as we begin this new year. God bless you. My heart goes out to you. Bye-bye.
This world of sorrow, sometime before you do, just look for me in heaven, and we'll talk the ages through. But if at first you fail to see me, let me tell you where I'll be. I'll be thanking Christ, my Savior, for saving a wretch like me. But if you should reach that city, has come. Perhaps you'd like to greet me when my race down here is run. Just pray for us.
Jesus, please. me at Jesus.